Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And wow, with all of the changes that have gone on in the working environment just within the last year, expanding into 2 years now, there has been so much of an upset on so many various levels. Well, my guest today, Gail Gregory, has put out a publication called Workplace Evolution. Now, why is this going to be of value to you? I think it's going to enable you to see some perspectives, some changing paradigms that are going to be very necessary to understand whether you are an employee or you are an employer. You may be someone that has a home business. You may be someone that's planning on building a Fortune 50 or a Fortune 500 company. For all of us, I think it has a value. Gail Gregory, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. What a pleasure to be here.
Now, Gail, you're a fascinating lady. I mean, you have done all kinds of things, and you, in fact, feel that you are traveling an expedition of self-discovery. I love that. I just think that's a wonderful way to look at life. You're a former senior manager of two Fortune 500 companies, and you started a business of your own, Pure Possibility. You like to work with people one-on-one to help them achieve their objectives. You also work within the Oregon State Corrections System. Now, you co-founded Workplace Evolution. It's called WE. And you say it's a resource bank. And I'd love for you to tell us about that resource bank. What gave you the concept for the resource bank, and how is it going for you?
Wow, there's a whole lot of questions there.
I do that at times.
The resource bank, at the moment, it is 9 amazing senior, I hate to use the word consultants, because there's so much more. That word consultants comes with so much baggage these days.
Oh, yes, it does.
But they're wonderful, amazing people that are committed to constantly and continuously evolving their self-understanding, their ability to understand organizations, and how to best function in this quickly changing world that we are finding ourselves in at the moment. And I really don't see it slowing down at any time in the future. If anything, maybe speeding up.
I agree with that statement.
Yes, and what we have various backgrounds. We've come from IT, aerospace, marketing, I'm trying to think of operations. So when we really cover the gamut of most of the facets of organizations. And we have really discovered ways, as we've learned how to work together as a really highly performing human performance team ourselves, as to, you know, the stumbling blocks that we found along the way, the things that were difficult for us to learn how to do. And we've been really, really honest about the process. And because of that, it's a process that we call radical honesty, which means that we're self-aware enough to know that we're projecting our stuff on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the work necessary to learn how to become a really fully functioning team. And we've learned some really interesting quick shortcuts to help organizations get, you know, cut to the chase and actually get to the point where they can be creative, open, really present to what's real in their organization, and therefore can really address the issues that are actually facing the organization rather than the ones that we have a tendency to think we're facing.
That, to me, is a real challenge for anyone. We are all caught up with our day-to-day environments, and when we are engrossed in them, it is very difficult sometimes to be able to stand back far enough to have an objective view because we're so integrated into just doing our day-to-day stuff.
Absolutely.
So having a team like this, a group of people that bring to the table various experiences and various levels of wisdom and knowledge, I want to pose a question to you. How do you keep an objective perspective of yourself? Can you stand back far enough to be able to look at your own circular integration that you have? And you use two words, radical honesty. Have that kind of honesty with yourselves, because so often, I mean, I look at various levels of industry, and people will say, well, we can police ourselves, and we go, excuse me, that doesn't work very well.
As we've seen.
on so many levels. We won't go into that detail.
Yeah.
But seriously, how are you able to objectively stand back and look at the paradigms that you're working with and look at how maybe you're going to have to work with something entirely different than what you had anticipated and be able to adapt those paradigms to whatever is the need of the individual situation?
That's the most fun of what we do. And it's interesting you asked about the on an individual basis. And it's the individual introspection, the individual willingness to take that very honest look at what's really happening that makes the group work. Because if we don't do the work individually, then we're really not even part of the think tank, part of the resource bank at all, because that's one of our major commitments, is to do that work ourselves and to be open to coaching from each other when we say, hey, you know, maybe you might want to look at that again and see whether or not that's your belief, not mine, that you're pasting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that sort of honesty now built in, and radical honesty can only be honesty when it's self-aware. And the thing that we're, of course, I had a wonderful experience just this last week, finding something I didn't know that I didn't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a daily event anymore, is if you're open and you're willing to be in that place of uncertainty, mm-hmm. and yet also, at the same time, and it seems like it's almost a paradox, of standing in what you know to be true. And so it's a double challenge, because there is recognizing what you know that's true, that which resonates very strongly in you,
mm-hmm.
and then there's also being willing to stand right in the middle of the uncertainty, which then says, okay, what really is happening here? And as soon as we think we know what's happening, of course, we cut ourselves off from the flow of really understanding what's really unfolding in front of us. And that's one of the places that organizations in particular really have a lot of room and a lot of possibility that they can open up, because most organizations come from a place of, we got to know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the knowing, I mean, we've all talked about being learning organizations over the years, those types of things, but this is a little different level of being willing to literally not know and just play with all the pieces that are showing up and put them together like a puzzle until they all snap into place and you go, oh, I see what it was we were building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that willingness to not know what you were building. I mean, the first 2 years that we were working, putting together the organization called Workplace Evolution, we kept thinking we knew what we were creating, and what we ended up with is not at all, and it continues to evolve, not at all what we thought we were going to create in the first place.
You have a quote that is right at the top of chapter one. In times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, while the learned will find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. That's Eric Hoffer. That is a timeless statement. We live in a world today where technologies are evolving at such a speed that for someone just in the everyday environment to keep up with it, I don't care if they're 10 years old or 150.
Indeed.
It is really difficult. I know people in the industries associated with technology, and they are hard-pressed to keep up with it because mm-hmm. of all the brains that we have that are working on, you know, millions, literally millions, if not more, variables that most of us, we say, excuse me, I just want cornflakes for breakfast and skip the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Star Trek land,
mm-hmm.
and it's real to them. This
mm-hmm.
isn't make-believe. So here we are as a business person, and we say, I know all of these technologies are evolving. I know all of these things are happening. And one of the words you used is evolution. And I think that it is so prudent that you have a statement in here. An adaptation is very important. But we've got to take care, and I'll use my own words, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly.
You want to get rid of the dirty bathwater, but you want to keep the baby. And you want to keep the essence, the spirit of what it is that's most significant to you, whether it's on a personal level, a professional level. This is so important, but we've got so many people, so many people. I watched a program about Cleveland, Ohio, and how one time it was just the industrial center of the United States, steel mills, all kinds of stuff. It is like a graveyard right
yeah.
now. You have such an emptiness. You have Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many different areas. We have an environment of change. It's evolving so quickly. How in the world can businesses here, we've outsourced jobs, what can we do within this country to be able to say, let's wake up, whether it's the small entrepreneur, whether it is the bigger entrepreneur, whether it is a Fortune 500, a Fortune 50 company, we don't care. How can we evolve so we have that sense of growth and development and financial balance that we had in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. What do we do? How do we make that evolutionary shift?
What's so interesting, you mentioned the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. And the one thing that, when I think back to the 50s, is they had huge vision. They
mm-hmm.
had this huge, big vision that they just, many of the men had just come out of World War II. And they had this desire to actually leave a legacy and create something good and to prove that there was a good reason why they were still alive. And that's something that we can actually return to as well, is the legacy. What is the legacy we want to live so that we're leave behind? And it's not so much, we've shifted somewhere along the line to it's all about making money, it's all about the things we have, and it's time to shift back. And say, who are we together? What is it that we want to create? And one of the key words that I understand anyway is the shift from me, my focus, my money, my status, my house, my everything, to we. And a lot of these problems, these big problems that we've had forever, having to do with poverty, having to do with terrorism, having to do with education, can be solved. And our vision is just not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
We've limited our vision and we've been focusing purely on the economics instead, and we think we know what's possible and we don't know what's possible. And if we begin to bring together and realize, like you said, information is out there in all of the people that we have working for us, it's in so many different places, we cannot access it anymore as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be accessed from the standpoint of the collective group within the organization and the recognition that everybody there has an extremely important part to play.
I agree.
As we begin to do that, we're going to get bigger answers, and we're going to have a ability to fuel our economy again. We're going to have the ability to see the potential rather than looking at things and saying why we can't do it.
I agree, and I think one of the points that you bring out, and I'll use your two words again, radical honesty, you say we need to dump the arrogance. We need to realize, and I'll just follow up with what you have just said, repeating it again in a different way. Every single human being has a value. Everybody within an organization, from the janitor up to the CEO, they have a significant job to do. And the isolationist positioning just isn't going to cut it. We have to pull together as a team. And whether your vision is to become something like another Walt Disney, or maybe to develop an internet business that allows you to deal with people all over the globe, Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just want to have the best bakery in your community.
Mm-hmm.
All of those visions are important. And what is key is to have honesty with what means the most to you.
Right. Really coming from that place of, number one, knowing what means the most to you, because most of us are kind of on autopilot when it comes to that. We've absorbed society's idea or our parents' ideas or our husband's ideas or whatever of what's important. And it's time, you know, to really do that self-research and find out what really is important to me and then align with that. And when we align with that, we are truly unstoppable. And one of the things you said as well, the value of everyone, the janitor, the CEO, everyone, is that the value is often not what we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
When we open up to the fact that everybody has immense value, then these normally unplayed pieces of the puzzle get played, and all of a sudden we have information we didn't have before.
I love a story that I believe I've shared with my listeners in the past. It was about a company that was really having a problem. They didn't understand why certain things weren't working well. It was a retail business of some kind. And the CEO worked late one night. They were losing money. They couldn't figure out what the block was. He happens to bump into the janitor, talks to the janitor. The janitor is dealing with the flow of traffic. He has to do the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the CEO, well, in the store, this is the dirtiest area of the store. This is what, you know, I don't have any problem cleaning here, but, oh, you should, you know how much time I have to spend cleaning this and blah, 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 blah. And the CEO, the light went off in his head, and he said, traffic flow. This is giving me a message. And they had to rearrange the store, and their sales went up. So it was a fascinating perspective. And he said, if I hadn't talked to the janitor, we were going to spend tens of thousands of dollars on consultants, but they weren't cleaning the floor. This guy was.
Right. Perfect. We've done an exercise before with organizations as well where we have these, we mix the groups, everyone from the front line to the CEO. And one of the questions that we have them ask each other is, what is it that I do that makes your job difficult? And how could I make your job easier? And the amount of information that comes out of those is worth the thousands and thousands of dollars that you would pay and lose. And they're losing because it's all of the redundancy. It's the stupid things that we're doing and we don't even recognize we're doing them until we ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It is so very, very important. It's like some employees at a major company were really thinking green,
mm-hmm.
and they said, you know, it really irritates us. Nobody in management is paying attention to the fact that we want to recycle stuff. What can we do? Finally, someone heard a conversation in a lunchroom, and they had a meeting, and they said, you know, we heard something here, and we'd like your feedback. We understand that there's some discontentment because you want to be in recycling. How many of you want to do this, and what do you recommend? So there are all kinds of suggestions. This company now has in their lunchroom area all utensils that are used, knives, forks, and spoons, are made from potatoes
mm-hmm.
or corn. And they have recycle bins that are very specifically labeled. They said, we are green, and we're trying to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the response of their employees? The employees are thrilled.
All of a sudden, it's an organization that they feel good about working for.
Yes.
All of a sudden, now they're telling their friends, and their friends are looking for jobs. And statistics are showing us that, what was it? I think I heard a number, it was like 70% of people are actually considering changing jobs when the economy improves.
Oh, no
it's
question.
A huge number. Huge number.
They're looking right now. They have there are so many people I've had conversations with that say, I've lost faith in a lot of businesses and what they really want. And I don't know that this is anything new. I think this has always been the case. You want to feel a sense of pride about whatever you're associated with. You want to have that sense of identification. Not everybody wants to be the president of the company or run a company. Many people want to be able to be a contributor. They want to do their jobs. They've got other interests. They want to have a good income, but they want to feel good about where they are working.
Exactly.
They want that sense of pride, self-pride.
Mm-hmm.
And when a company is transparent, when they're open, I think politicians could take a lesson on this, when they are open, then all of a sudden you get all of this support. No game playing, just really be up front. If something isn't good, great, be up front with it. If it is something that is really positive, you share that too, because there's no such thing as a straight line in life. You're always going up and down, just like a hula hoop. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I like in your book, you talk about 7 myths, and I'm going to read them quickly. 1, the world is a scary place. 2, there's not enough. 3, the power is outside of us. 4, we are not enough. 5, there is one right way. 6, we know what is real. 7, we are separate and alone. Those are 7 myths. How did you come to those 7?
Actually, those 7 originally showed up in my first book, The Grand Experiment and Expedition of Self-Discovery, that I co-wrote with a couple of other wonderful people. And they came after we just sat down looking at what are all of the stories that we all buy into without actually looking at them to see whether they're true.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started listing them, and then we put them and we took them and put them into categories, and those were the 7 that just emerged. And so far, I haven't found all what I call one of the lies that actually fits in anything other than those 7 categories. They all seem to fit there. And then what I did in the Workplace Evolution, the book, was I converted those then into the 7 workplace myths and how they actually show up then in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the personal side in the Grand Experiment and then the workplace side in Workplace Evolution. And what's so fascinating about those is they're the passion killers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that prevent people from participating and being fully engaged. They are the things that make businesses' visions much smaller than what they could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in a vision so big that all it can do is inspire, kind of like putting a man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that we really, you know, give us the energy, the juice to want to go out and really make something happen. The myths are they trap us in feelings of mediocrity, of unworthiness, and then, of course, then with that, also with the inability to really look at ourselves and see what's true. And then we start, it impacts relationships, our abilities to work together, our willingness to work together. It creates the reason why we walk around the person instead of going and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of the problems that you have within organizations are directly related to all 7 myths.
One of your quotes in your book is by Albert Schweitzer, who I have such a high regard for. That man, I just think was so profound. He was such a philosopher. His statement was, just as the wave cannot exist for itself, but is ever a part of the heaving surface of the ocean, so must I never live my life for itself, but always in the experience which is going on around me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, it has such a depth of wisdom in it. It is timeless. It is something, whatever generation you belong to, self-centeredness keeps you in a very tiny, tiny paradigm. And it does limit your vision. It does make you aware of so tiny, tiny a perspective for opportunity. You just can't expand beyond that. But when you realize that you're part of something that is so magnificent called life, and that regardless of whatever your pixel might be, you can link that pixel with another pixel, with another pixel, with another pixel, until there is a phenomenal picture that is made. And it can be bigger than anything you could have ever conceived.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's absolutely magical. It's just wonderful. Let's talk about listening for a moment and energy awareness related to listening.
Mm-hmm.
You have a chapter on that. Let's address that for a moment.
There's not probably one of us that's walked into a room and not felt the energy when it was welcoming or when it was hostile. We know immediately whether it's what the energy is. We ignore it as a tool. we ignore it. It's kind of one of those new age or woo-woo or whatever term you want to use, perceptions, the way the business world generally looks at energy. But energy is one of those tools that if the organization really understands it and learns how to harness it, can be one of the most powerful tools in its toolbox. What I found is that as I'm much more energy aware, I can see when somebody's pulling back, when they're not being honest or truthful with me, or when they're not saying something that they really want to say. And instead then of just letting that happen, what I do now is I say, okay, I'm sensing that, you know, we're not connecting here or something's off here, so what is it you want to say that you're not saying? And you just keep opening up the opportunity for people to really get honest with what's true for them. And since I'm not afraid to have them tell me what it is that's true for them, and I really want to know because there's an important part of my puzzle there, then it's a constant invitation. And once you become energy aware and begin practicing and becoming even more so as, you know, it's constantly evolving process, it just makes communication, because communication normally is just two people talking but nothing connecting, because we have all of these different opinions of how to interpret words, our programming and filters. But the energy can tell you when what you're saying and what the other person's hearing are at odds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can automatically open up communication in a way that's never been experienced before, as an overall experience for the organization.
Speaking of organizations, one of them that you mention in the book that is headed by Ricardo Semler, who's the CEO,
mm-hmm.
is Semco.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell that story quickly? We've got about 3 minutes. I'd love for my listeners to hear this story, because this is a phenomenal application of extreme intelligence.
He took over the business from his father, and it was a traditional business, and he decided that he wanted to make it into a leaderless organization. And the employees make all the decisions, and he decided basically that the employees, if you left them to their own decision-making process, they would make more good decisions than bad ones.
Now,
and
I'll tell you, I shared this with someone, and they said, oh, brother. If he doesn't know what he's doing, if he doesn't pay attention to all this stuff, everything's going to go screwball.
Well, I think the numbers actually prove that his experiment worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because his growth rates were phenomenal. I'm trying to remember what the number, how many $500 million companies started out in the 20s in a very short period of time. The employees hire and fire the managers. There are no special perks for being managers. It's a very interesting organization. And they have grown, trying to remember the numbers, 5,000 employees. It's a very big, big organization today. And they're in Brazil, and you're looking at a Latin American country, so some of the cultural issues that might have been in the way there as well. And it completely overcame all of that. Semco is just one of the most amazing organizations. And he, when asked why more people didn't use the model, that's one of the most telling statements in of what he said, was that because managers don't want to lose power.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to do that. And so it's the power game. It's the me. It's me rather than that more inclusive we. But as he's proven, and his numbers have proven over the years, not just in 1 year or 2 years, but over multiple years, constant, continuous, explosive growth, even in down economies.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's proven, though, is the people, given the opportunity to make the decisions, will make more decisions that are right than wrong, and it'll benefit the organization long term in more ways than one could even imagine.
Wow, imagine if we could do that, if we could fire the managers at this time in certain political positionings. Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
Now, that might be fun.
I think that would be it's like putting none of the above on the ballot. I think we need to bring that into place, but then I'm not going to get on my high horse about that. Your book, Workplace Evolution, Common Sense for Uncommon Times, Gail Gregory, is just outstanding. I'd recommend it for anyone, whether you have a business, you don't have a business. There are principles and thoughts and paradigms of perspective that are within this book you can use in everyday life, and you're going to love the stories. Gail has a website called workplaceevolution.com. That's workplaceevolution.com. You can go there and find out more. The book is available through the website as well as on Amazon. Gail Gregory, it has been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget, Workplace Evolution, Common Sense for Uncommon Times. Gail Gregory, the author, and the website is the same title as the book. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. For those of you that are listening for the first time, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that I will give you the impressions that I have. And of course, you're always welcome when I finish speaking with you to ask a question about anything that is of importance to you. 888-815-9756. And remember, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Also, if you have a particular experience that has been very meaningful to you of a paranormal nature, an out-of-body experience, seeing a ghost, whatever it might be, do send me the story. I'm putting together a book. I'm collecting 100 stories from people. I'm getting some fabulous submissions, and I'd love to have yours. So if you'll send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com, then be sure to put down your contact information, because we will need that when it's ready to publish. The publishing house may want to have a release form signed, but I need that from you. and then we will put it in our file. But we're aiming for 100 stories, and yours could be included. So do send that. If you wanted to send it via snail mail, send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that is P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. I'm very excited about this. I'm working on another book right now, but I wanted to start looking at this information because I think it is going to be really, really special. This is a book that's meant to empower people that maybe have had experiences of their own, and maybe your story could touch someone's awareness, making them aware that they don't have to be afraid of whatever experiences that they may have. They can be informed and become empowered because of a story you might share. I'll be sharing a number of mine as well, but I wanted to include other people. So again, send that story to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Information is going to be coming up also about the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, which I'm going to be participating in. That's coming up March 5th, 6th, and 7th. You can go to their website, the Northwest Women's Show, find out about all of the things that are going on. This year, again, because of the success we had last year, we're having the Girls Talk stage. I am bringing in 6 speakers, first hour. It'll be from 1 until 4, the first hour. We're going to be talking about money, identity fraud, how to protect yourself, and then also what to do with investment money, etc. The second hour, we're going to be talking about healing energies and all kinds of different modalities relative to that. The third hour will be dedicated to animals, their well-being, how to work with them, how to do readings with them. So for 3 power-packed hours, there will be 6 women that are highly respected in their areas, their fields of endeavor, and we are going to be having an interview format, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. So if you are in the Pacific Northwest, know that this is going to be going on, and it is going to be a very exciting event. You're not going to want to miss it. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Go to their website, thenorthwestwomensshow.com, and you'll get all of the fabulous details. You'll even find out where you can get discount tickets. Okay, I wanted to share some little bit of items that I had come across that you might find of value. The library, for some reason, and I know the internet is virtually a library, we can find just about anything we want, but lots of times we forget that our local public libraries have staff that are so educated and so knowledgeable, they can assist us in ways that we would never have dreamed of. In the modern day library, you have access to computers, you have access to tutors, you have access to people that can help you in research, which has always been with the research librarians. But it's absolutely amazing what your local library provides for you. Do you know the libraries have access to pricey subscribe-only professional software like Heritage Quest and InfoTrack, which you can use for free if you wanted to find out about your family genealogy or any historical records, including census and newspapers. For if you were, let's say you were trying to figure out your family tree, they enable you to utilize these things, and you don't have to buy them. They're already there for you. And, of course, your research librarians are just amazing at how they can lead you exactly to where you want to be. I was listening to someone this morning talking about how they can go into their research librarian and say, I want to know about all papers published on XYZ, and that librarian can pull up information in just a matter of minutes and put that person in touch with all that data. They've got a copy machine there. If you want to make a copy of it, you can do it. It's amazing what's available. Also, you can use a library's computers to prepare and send resumes, and many libraries can give you information about access to job coaches, career training, and even individual counseling that might be able to help you get that extra edge when you're out there looking for a job. Also, you can find seminars at the library. We all know about the talking books, but there are many, many seminars that they are able to acquire, and, you know, information on taxes, if you want to know about people that are going to be giving free talks, all of this, they have this available to you. They have events. You can hold a meeting in your library. The only thing about public libraries is that you can't charge for the meetings, but if you wanted to gather a bunch of people together, maybe do a class or something like that, think of your local library. It's safe, and they're free of charge. All you have to do is sign up and pick a date, and it is available for you. So your local library is a wonderful, wonderful resource for you to utilize. And if you have a family, I'll tell you what. You have access to movies, all kinds of things regarding history. There's areas for children. They have so much there. And you know what will happen? If you're a regular at your local library, you'll develop friends. And there's just going to be a camaraderie that is absolutely magical. It had such an influence on me when I was growing up, and I know our local community library, we actually have two of them that are very close to us. Each of them offers something very significant. By the way, if you have books in your own library that you don't want anymore, maybe you're sizing down, or you're just saying, this, all of my landscaping stuff, I'm not interested anymore, take it to your local library. Why? Because libraries are in need of funds, and they have their own groups that they go through books that people donate, and many times those go into what's called the Friends of the Library. Maybe your local library has a different title for the group. And then they have book sales. So they're able to raise money for the library that helps to keep them open and going. And I think that that is so important. And in this economy that we're having today, so many of you just feel so strapped and you're watching every penny, by golly, use your library. You're going to come to know some, again, some wonderful people, but you have got resources for free at your fingertips that are just absolutely phenomenal. And not only that, but they link with each other. So if you can't find one thing in one library, put in your request. You can even do stuff online. It's absolutely amazing. So go for it. Also, just a little tip that I became aware of. If you're really wanting to save money on gasoline, I don't know what it's like for you, but it's like $3 a gallon up here in the Pacific Northwest. It just keeps getting higher and higher. A lot of grocery stores are adding gas stations to their locations. It's another moneymaker for them. And they give their customers a discount if they make certain purchases like prescription refills, gift cards, or maybe they earn a certain number of points with a loyalty card, and it could save you quite a bit of money. And, of course, there's some big box stores that offer a very good discount, too, but you have to use a particular credit card. So that is something you have to think about, because if you don't pay your credit card off right at the time when you get the bill, then you're going to have an additional anywhere from a 9 to 14% add-on for that gasoline, and that's not such a good thing. But if you pay it off every month, then that's a good way to go, too. Also, credit card fraud. You need to pay extra attention to all the charges on your credit card statement when it arrives every month. Why? Because the crooks out there are often testing the validity of a stolen number by making small charges. Do you know some of them are as tiny as 25 cents? I would not imagine anyone using a merchant taking a credit card for something that's 25 cents, but they do. So if you see something like that on your statement, you know something's wrong. Don't overlook tiny amounts that don't add much to your bottom line, because what'll happen, if they've got your number, those crooks will make even bigger purchases. So be sure you look for and report any odd charges so that you can protect your finances. Something happened with me on my credit card. Someone sent me something and said, oh, it's only for 30 days. And this occurred with something I checked out on the Internet. I didn't have a clue this was going on. And my bookkeeper said, do you know this has been added to your bill? I said, what's that? And she said, I don't know. So she called. We found out it was a special travel gift or item, and it wasn't a huge amount of money, but it was about $13 a month, and they were just going boing, 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 boing every month. I said, not this lady. So I took responsibility for not having paid attention to that, and my bookkeeper said, I haven't had this before. Where did this come from? And I said, I don't know. I've been real busy, and I passed it over. So don't do what I did. You know, really, pay attention. It really does make a difference. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, I have a delicious recipe for you, a fruity, honey glazed chicken. Yum. Good stuff. Chicken's one of my favorite meats. How about you? Donna Sebo here. Want to give me a buzz? 888-815-9756. Get out that pad of paper and pen, and I'll share this recipe with you. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz, 888-815-9756, if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. By the way, for those of you that are listening in Alaska, I'm going to be going up to Anchorage and Fairbanks the first part of April. The dates haven't been set, but it will be within the first 2 weeks of that month. I thought I was going to be doing it in March, but I've had to change my plans because of other appearances. So, anyway, let me give you this recipe. This is such a good chicken recipe, and it's so easy to make. And I don't know about you, but I like flavor. And cooking takes time, but this is so nice. And if on a weekend you wanted to do something a little bit different, have a different flavor with chicken, even the kids are going to like this. But I just think it's something that is just so easy to adapt. If you wanted to use all white meat, like your chicken breasts, I would say make sure you get the chicken breasts with the skin. Don't de-skin them. Make sure you keep the skin on because it helps to absorb the flavor. But here we go. This is a fruity honey glazed chicken. You need two limes. You need 2 cups of tropical juice blend such as a Dole pineapple orange banana or an equivalent if you have your favorite. So you're going to need 2 cups of a tropical juice. And then you're going to need 3 teaspoons of dry Caribbean jerk seasoning, your favorite, whatever it might be. 3 teaspoons of dry Caribbean jerk seasoning. You're going to need 2 cloves of garlic, and you want to mince these really finely. And then you need 1 chicken, about 4 pounds worth, cut into 8 pieces, and you want to pierce them, each piece, with a fork. Pierce them with a fork more than once. Now, again, if you prefer white meat, which is, I know, something I prefer and my husband prefers this, a lot of people do, but there are some people who just love the dark meat. So if it's for your family and everybody's got different tastes, then the whole chicken is a good thing to cut up. But also, if you want it to go further, if you've got other things going along with a meal, you might want to cut, let's say, the breast, because these chickens anymore are just huge. You might want to cut the breast pieces. Instead of just having 2 large breasts, you might want to cut it into 2 pieces each so you have more to go around. But anyway, you're going to need about 4 to 5 pounds of chicken cut into 8 pieces or smaller. And then you need 1/4 cup of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And then for some garnish, you might want to have some lime slices and some cilantro sprigs. You don't need them, but if you want to have them, it's great. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to grate and 2 teaspoons of zest and squeeze 2 tablespoons of juice from your 2 limes into a large plastic food storage bag. And you want a gallon size. That's the best one to use. You want to add to that 1 cup of your tropical juice blend, 2 teaspoons of the jerk seasoning, and your finely minced garlic. Then you put your cut up chicken there. And you just seal your bag, turn it to coat, and then put it in your refrigerator. Now, this is something you could even do the day before. If you had company coming and you wanted to fix this or you wanted to make it easier, maybe you got a busy day the next day and you say, oh, I don't want to bother with this. Do it before you go to bed. Just toss everything in the refrigerator and just leave it there. Let it marinate. The longer it's in, the better the flavor is going to be. So you need it in there for 2 hours. Okay, after it's marinated, you then want to, in a pot, combine your honey with the remaining juice that you have and 1 teaspoon of your Caribbean jerk seasoning. And then you want to cook it over medium-high heat. You want to bring it to a boil, and then you want to cook it until it's thickened. So you might want to turn your heat down just a little bit. You don't want it scorched. You want it cooked, so it's going to thicken very nicely. It could take as long as 10 minutes. You're going to have to stand there and watch it. Then you remove it from the heat, and you just leave it in the pot, and you let it cool. You preheat your oven to 375 degrees. You need a nice roasting pan, and you want to cover it with cooking spray. And then you want to take your chicken out of the marinade, and you let the excess drip off. And arrange it in a single layer in your baking pan. And spray it well with a nonstick cooking spray. And then you want to sprinkle your chicken with some salt, and you want to roast it for 45 to 50 minutes, or until it's no longer pink near a bone. And you want to brush it with the juice you have set aside during the last 10 minutes of cooking. Now, usually, I'll want it to go a little bit longer because I really like the deep, golden color with this. So I often will just gauge it visually. And if I need a little bit of extra time, I will give that extra time and keep basting along. It'll be finished. And if you have a nice platter and maybe you have some cilantro on it, just set up so and then just lay the pieces out. It looks beautiful. And then, of course, you can have a nice salad. You can fix your favorite vegetables, whatever it is that you would like to have go with it, rice, potatoes. It doesn't make any difference. This is a recipe that is a year-round recipe. It'd be just as good during the summer as it is during the winter months. But for some reason, during the winter months, having that a little bit of spice in that fruity flavor just adds a bit of magic to a dish that otherwise is considered sometimes so very, very bland. But this is really flavorful, so I think that you will enjoy it a great deal. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the power of your child's imagination. Dr. Charlotte Rainier is going to be my guest. And kids are phenomenal. We very, very much underestimate their capabilities. I think we're going to find we need to set the bar a little bit higher than what we expect. I remember when I came out with my children's book, how people said, oh, the words you use in this book, they're too above a child's capability of understanding. I want to say, give me a break. I was reading to 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, and they could hold conversations with me. Let's stop dumbing down with kids. And that is part of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow. Do you know there is now a reading program out so you can teach your baby how to read? And they're reading by the time they're 2, and this isn't taxing their brain. They love it. They are like little sponges. They learn. They love to learn. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. I wanted to share with you a story about a Maria Tallarico. However, I don't have enough time to do that today because I'm almost out of time. This is a fascinating story about how a crime was solved when a woman was possessed. So we'll probably talk about it tomorrow. Fascinating stuff. The world of the paranormal and unusual. Don't forget, if you've got a story, I'd like to hear about it from you directly. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have the opportunity to break through your own personal glass ceiling, but only if you're willing to be a student of life. And you're never too old for change, you are never too young to learn new things. Always remember, life is a school, and we're here to be as students and to constantly grow and expand. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back same time, same place, right here, sharing with you the power of knowledge. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous day, a fabulous evening, wherever you might be. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.